This is Dr. Pollack, and today I'm very honored to be joined by Dr. Paul Barratiero. You're an esteemed colleague, and so rather than me trying to introduce you, which I always never get completely right anyway, so rather than try to read a list, let's have you talk about yourself. Tell us who you are, what you are, what you do, and we'll go from there.
Well, thank you. It's my least favorite subject, but I'm happy to do that. I'm just honestly a husband of 28 years, a father, an entrepreneur. I've started several companies in the medical industry over the years, and 8 different companies. Really, I'm very interested in prevention of pathology. That's what I'm most passionate about as an individual, is preventing disease models. If we can prevent them, it's a lot easier than trying to help them after we've contracted pathology or a disease model. So I'm really always wanting to prevent disease, but in the way of building the body so the body functions the way it was designed or created to function. That's really where my mind is at and what I look to do. And I do that through education. I've been lecturing across the world. You know, I've been on television, you know, here in the US, Switzerland, Germany, all different parts of the world. I've been on television. I've been on podcasts. I've been on summits and, you know, documentaries, Truth About Cancer, for instance. And that's really because I'm passionate about educating others so they know what to do to accomplish their divine potential. That's really, I guess, a good synopsis.
To optimize ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your background, I think you're a naturopathic doctor, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you tell us more about your path?
Yeah. So many years ago, I was focused on diabetes. And so I became a podorthist. Most people don't know what that is, but I went to Oklahoma State University and became a podorthist. And the focus of a podorthist is ankle down, diabetic foot, and the complications that can come from that. So I was really focused on that. And the love of my life, my queen, my wife, Jacqueline, for our first 10 years of our marriage, she was not doing well. She was sick. And of course, I was a young man. I was 31 at that point after being married 10 years. I was 31. And I was like, what am I going to do to help my wife? I'm helping these other people with issues, but my wife's the most important person to me, period. And there's a big difference between the next person and her, right? So I really wanted to do some research. I came across different waters that people were reporting or proposing that they could help. And of course, I was very skeptical because I know water for what you drink and wash a car with and bathe in, right? So that's what water is for most of us. But using water for a therapeutic perspective, I really wasn't familiar with. And so I became familiar. And after a couple of years of research, I then understood that hydrogen gas, when you dissolve it in water, had benefits. There was maybe one or two studies I had found. The literature was very, very hard to find anything going on. Everyone at that time was attributing pH in water to helping people, and that was completely not the case. We know that. We know that the pH of water or any solution you consume is not going to affect you much. So I really centered on the hydrogen gas. And once I became aware of the hydrogen gas, holy cow, the world opened up. And when I started focusing on that, it began to make sense because hydrogen is a reducer of oxidation. Of course, oxygen is an oxidizer. And so you have these two opposing forces that when you keep them in balance, you have homeostasis. But when one or the other gets out of balance, that's when our problems begin. And of course, my absolute focus is gut, because I firmly believe that issues start in the gut. And so hydrogen, which is supposed to be produced in the gut, is what should be modulating or regulating all of that.
That's very important and critical. And there's other aspects of water as well. I'm going to pause right here because my light behind the screen turned brighter all of a sudden. Maybe because of your energy. So I'll add it. I don't know why it flickered like that.
Huh.
There we go. All right. There we go, better. So I'll go back and slice from there.
No problem.
All right, so yeah, my understanding, water, obviously our bodies are about 65% water.
Right.
And you can split hydrogen off the water molecule, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And to what extent does the body do that naturally?
There has been a study out of Australia showing that melanin can do this as light's entering the eye or in the body. It's typically when they're in big trouble. Let's say maybe you had no water source and your body needed to have more energy because you were depleted. If we really think about the fact, if we are 65, 70% water, then you have hydrogen gas, which is a very high energy store. So in fact, our body, if you could tap into all that hydrogen, you would have tremendous energy source there. I think a lot of people are becoming aware that hydrogen is for battery use. Hydrogen is a fuel that can be used that sustainably. I just read yesterday, there's a new jet out of Korea that they're beginning to test hydrogen as the fuel for a jet. So hydrogen has electrons, and it's dense with electrons. And so you have tremendous energy stored there. So if the body can access that, which we now know that can, when it's in trouble, then you can access amazing energy store. And so it comes to down to the level of our body really is carbon hydrogen chains, and hydrogen in general is critical for health, for life, for every aspect of what we do. I mean, even stomach acid, HCl, right? You still have hydrogen involved. So hydrogen is absolutely critical.
And water, we're actually, in many ways, not actually water.
Yeah.
Right? We're actually an electrolyte soup.
That's right.
We're a solution, essentially. Yes. Right? Mm-hmm. And the cells make water.
Yes.
The metabolic processes. And it will create water, but that water almost immediately becomes integrated into all the other material that's inside the cell and between the cells.
Yeah. I mean, it's what the lymphatic system is, right? In general. But yeah, it's the solution.
It's a solution. And it's an electrolyte solution. So being an electrolyte solution, it has energy, and it's susceptible to energy actions or interactions, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, when you started looking at the water, you became aware of H2. So tell us what the difference is between H2 and, well, hydrogen in HCl, hydrogen chloride, or versus ozone or other kinds of hydrogen, if you want. Ozone is not hydrogen, but.
Right. Yeah. Oxygen. Yeah. So hydrogen is, of course, number one on the periodic table. So it's because of its size, it's number one. But typically, you don't find an individual hydrogen unless it's bonded to something else. And typically, carbons are very involved with this process, unless you have H2. So H2 is very stable as a gas because they're neutral, they're combined. And so that's why you end up with H2, is because hydrogen, you're not going to find it by itself unless there's a charge to it, like H+ or something like this. But H2 is very powerful because it's neutral. And when things are neutral, you can actually get them into the cell. If they have a charge, typically the cells block them. And in the case of water, I think a lot of people falsely believe that somehow water enters our cells. However, there was a Nobel Prize won on the process of understanding that aquaporins that are connected to the cells actually is how water gets through. But when we really look at it deeper, it's not actually water. It's hydrogen and then an oxygen and a hydrogen, because through these aquaporins, and I don't know that we understand this because it's a little beyond our capacity, but the actual water molecule breaks into its constituent elements and enters the cells molecule by molecule to then where it's recombined. Now, the amount of time that takes, we don't have a word for, because we think in seconds or milliseconds or but they just don't. I was on a summit having to do with peptides a week or so ago, and they have now discovered at University of California, I believe it was Riverside, that hydrogen can accomplish peptide action in the body naturally in a trillionth of a time that they thought was possible. So hydrogen speeds up action in the body electrically and accomplishes, in this case, it was peptide action. And they came up with a new word for this amount of time that it occurred. And so, I mean, we're constantly learning. I don't think we know anywhere near what we think we know, but what we do understand paints a picture that hydrogen is critical. Hydrogen is a facilitator. And what we need to understand is that hydrogen is not a heavy lifter. It's not doing the action. It's a signal modulator. It's giving direction or coordinating or managing a lot of different actions. There's been over 200 biomolecules that are regulated by hydrogen gas. There are master hormones like ghrelin secretions, leptin, that are regulated by hydrogen. So when we talk about neurologic function, when we talk about all these things that hydrogen can help, there's no striatal hydrogen, or no, in other words, there's no hydrogen going to the brain. In this case, it's ghrelin secretions going to the brain. And we call those in medicine a second messenger. That's really what hydrogen's doing. Hydrogen's giving direction and telling stuff to work again. And when we have a gut that's not functioning properly and we're not producing hydrogen the way we're supposed to, then a lot of systems are not functioning and the body is trying to make things work by multiple mechanisms or backup systems that it has to accomplish actions in an antioxidant method or radicals or all these kind of things. As soon as you put hydrogen back in the picture, then the symphony can continue. And the beauty of the way the body is supposed to function rapidly happens. And that's what I have found extremely beautiful and extremely passionate is, as soon as you give the body the tools it needs back, it goes to work and things begin to function normally. But hydrogen is critical. And again, just the presence, it's not the quantity that matters in most cases, it's just the presence of this gas, H2 gas, that actually modulates and accomplishes a lot. And so for me, it's mind-boggling and amazing.
It's ubiquitous.
It's
all the processes of the body.
Yeah.
It gets involved in all those processes. I frequently tell people that we have about 100 trillion cells in our bodies.
Yeah.
And we have about 2,000 to 5,000 biochemical processes per second in each cell.
Yeah.
That's staggering. Absolutely staggering. Yeah. And that's a symphony, right?
Yes.
We were talking before we started how that symphony is coordinated. And it's layered.
Yeah.
The body has many ways of accomplishing the same job. It's rarely just one mechanism.
I haven't found one yet.
We are hydrogen deficient, hydrogen gas deficient, or hydrogen H2 deficient?
Yes. And actually, we are supposed to produce hydrogen. When we look at how our gut is supposed to work, people talk all the time about a dysfunctioning gut, and I don't think people understand. I think they hear the marketing terms like leaky gut, I don't know, what do they think? Something's coming down their leg or something? I don't know, but I don't really understand leaky gut because that principle doesn't make sense. What I understand is there's bacterial issues, and that's because the terrain and the biome are not the proper polarity. So bacteria typically like electrical charge. And when we talk about aerobic, they like a positive charge. When we look at anaerobic, they like a negative charge. So if the gut terrain itself, if we change the polarity, then we will signal or will stimulate the wrong bacteria. And so we'll have overgrowth and we'll have different fermentation going on. So really what happens is your entire food craving changes based on the bacteria in the gut. Because aerobic bacteria wants carbs and sugar, anaerobic wants fiber and fatty acids. So if we really come to understand what's going on, it's really the bacteria that's controlling us. And so what I found years ago is a study out of Russia showing that if we get the epithelial tissue or the tissue of the gastrointestinal tract anywhere near a negative 300 millivolts of electrical potential, we rehab the gut rapidly. So within days, hours in some cases, we begin a process of selectively stimulating anaerobic microflora. Well, the reason that's critical is A, anaerobic microflora can process fiber and process short chain and medium chain fatty acids, which is the kind of foods we should be eating. But within those families of anaerobic microflora, you have these amazing bacteria called hydrogen trophs. And those hydrogen trophs convert the fatty acids and the fiber into hydrogen gas in our gut. Now, we call this flatulence, and it's very exciting for teenagers. But the reality is, we can produce or should be able to produce 10 to 12 liters of hydrogen gas per day. Now, we produce methane. There's other gases, but hydrogen is a big part of it. And so what's really beautiful in this story is the hydrogen trophs themselves consume 30% of the hydrogen they make as their own energy source. Isn't that beautiful? It's like symbiotic, right? So hydrogen trophs create the hydrogen and then consume it as their energy source. The other 70% can go into the body and regulate pathways, many different pathways, NRF1, NRF2, all the different pathways, but they affect things like telomere length, telomerase activity. They affect SIRT1. They affect all the antioxidant pathways. They help stop formation of hydroxyl radicals through catalyte regulation. There's so many things when we get into what hydrogen is doing in the body. It's critical, but one of the most important is ghrelin secretions, which we talked about earlier about neurologic protective effects. So what the story is we should be self-sufficient. We should be producing hydrogen gas in our own self, but we have chemicals that disrupt the gut. We have lifestyle choices that disrupt the gut. We have stress that disrupt the gut. And so the only way that I have learned or have actually found to be able to rehab a gut or change the electrical potential so that we can go back to making hydrogen naturally the way we're supposed to is by changing the electrical potential. And so we do that as well. So we fix the gut and we give the body hydrogen so that it has the ability to regulate oxidative stress and bring it back down to where we would just have oxidation, which is natural, but not oxidative stress.
So just taking extra H2,
yes,
in water is not enough.
It is enough, but the problem is I'm one of these people who I don't like to Band-Aid. I like to fix a system that's not functioning naturally. And so a lot of people will say, you know, obviously it's no secret that I developed the only hydrogen water system that's a true hydrogen water system. And people will say, well, why don't you just rent them for 2 weeks so that when my gut is fixed, then I can send it back. And I'll say to them, are you going to be disciplined to only eat organic, non-GMO foods that you have verified, even though it says organic, you've verified there's no pesticides in there that are disruptive to your gut bacteria? Are you going to do that? Are you going to really make a decision to not put it in your mouth if you can't find something organic or clean? And they're like, no. And I'm like, okay, that's why I don't rent the machines for 2 weeks, because you're going to be eating food disrupting your gut bacteria. And at the same time, the water that you're drinking is going to build your gut bacteria back up because it's going to change the terrain of the gut. This is why you need to drink this water on a regular basis, because while you're damaging it, you're also building it back up. And this is the only way for you to function as a human being, because if we didn't have pesticides and chemicals, then we wouldn't need to drink hydrogen water because we'd be producing it internally and we wouldn't have a problem.
Now, if you make too much hydrogen, do you really get flatulence?
No, you're not going to see an increased flatulence by drinking the water, because we're only putting max, depending on the device we have, we're about 1.5 to 1.88 parts per million. This is not enough volume of gas to really make that much of a difference from a flatulence perspective. But from a modulation of pathways in the body, from a disease model, what is considered therapeutic? People always ask, what's a dose? Because we're so trained to think in doses, but really, there is no dose. You just need to have hydrogen gas in your body to modulate pathways. But what has been accepted, let's say it this way, what has been accepted in the scientific community is 0.5 parts per million is considered therapeutic, and 16 ounces per day would be considered a dose. If you had 16 ounces of water with 0.5 parts per million of hydrogen gas dissolved, that would be considered a dose. And that's just based on 1,100 studies. That's the amount that they used in many of the studies. Now, what they also found, though, is 0.1 parts per million, a tenth of a part per million, signaled ghrelin secretions, which helped with neurologic, whether it's bipolar, schizophrenia, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, autism, whatever. It modulated the brain itself from a plasticity perspective, from a normalization. So really, it just proves that we don't need a ton of hydrogen. We just need a steady supply on a daily basis.
Enough of it. And I would guess, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I would guess that even the hydrogen that you produce, if you get the right diet and you're producing a lot of hydrogen, even if you're taking extra hydrogen, it's amazingly well absorbed, right? So it crosses the cell membranes almost immediately. So very little of it gets out of the body.
If you were to get 1.88 parts per million, for example, you're going to breathe some of that hydrogen out over time, but the hydrogen itself is probably in the body half an hour to an hour, and whatever you're using is great. But the beautiful thing about that is the signal modulation already occurs. And then they have shown through study that you have cascading effects in the body up to 3 to 5 days after drinking just one glass of water. The modulation and the cascade of pathways that are affected can last up to 3 to 5 days just from one glass or one dose.
One use. Well, even with when you talk about the gut and having the right diet, so you can be perfect in your diet, right?
Yeah.
Whatever perfect is.
Yeah.
But our bodies are changing constantly.
Yes.
Right. And you're stressed, and that changes things.
Yeah.
Right. You eat a meal at a restaurant and you eat a meal at home.
Yeah.
And that changes things. So our bodies are constantly changing. We cannot assume that they're going to be the same all the time. So the same dose every doing it now and then is not going to fix the problem. You have to really keep it up.
That's right. And it's really signal modulation. And so the body, the only dose dependency that I found is with rheumatoid arthritis, for example, when you have all these articulations that have oxidative stress, and therefore you have what's called arthritis, the more hydrogen you get into the body initially can help those individuals because you have articulations that are being helped. So that's the only one I found that has any dose dependency at all. And that's just because you have joints that are in need of reduction of oxidative stress. But whether you did it all in one day or you did it over a week or two of drinking, it's going to happen anyways, because there is a stacking effect. But what's nice about RA is it didn't come back in the study. So the joints that were affected positively didn't come back in a day or so. It was actually fixing. And so this is the case with many of the pathologies. When we look at the 1,140 studies that we have so far, there's 185 disease models. And when we look at things like telomere, which is important to understand, in a healthy cell, hydrogen lengthens telomere, which is what you would want, because you would want that cell dividing and not hitting a haystack, what's called a haystack, so it doesn't stop after a certain number. But when it comes to cancer cells, hydrogen shortens telomeres. And so again, it's very interesting, because hydrogen does what nothing else does, because it's so innate to the body. It does what's right in both situations, positive and negative. So a healthy cell, you would want a lengthened telomere. In a cancer cell, you would want to shorten, because you don't want it reproducing. And at the same time, apoptosis is benefited with a cancer cell, which is huge, because then it destroys itself. So I'm sure you can tell I'm very passionate about this, but it's been 17 years of me looking at this and working with this and seeing a causal outcome on pathology and body. And again, for me, it just testifies to the creation of the body and the way the body was designed to function by itself naturally.
Well, when you talk about rheumatoid arthritis, what occurred to me is that you may need extra work at the beginning, because any pathology has a certain starting point that, that you're trying to get at it. Because by the time they come to us with their symptoms or their diagnosis, they're already pretty far along in the disease process.
Right.
Right. So that means you're going to need more work at the beginning than you will later once you get things under better control.
Absolutely.
Right. Now, I have the same passion about PEMFs, and this is the PEMF Summit.
Yeah.
But one of the things that we have in common, I just read a paper that we were discussing about the fact that hydrogen, also H2, increases heat stress proteins.
Yeah.
Or heat shock proteins are called.
Yeah.
And that upregulation of heat stress protein production increases collagen production.
Mm-hmm.
So, so basically that goes back to some extent to rheumatoid arthritis as well. So if you increase heat stress proteins, you're protecting cells, but the more damaged the cells are, the more protection they're going to need until finally they're back into a place of rebalance. And PEMFs do the same thing.
Right.
So I don't know the physics mechanisms behind hydrogen and PEMFs, but because a lot of the biological processes of PEMFs are similar to H2, I have to think that somehow PEMFs and H2 are working together.
I agree. I've had several individuals, while I've never studied PEMFs extensively, I've had other individuals say, you know, it's really interesting because the same mechanisms are at work here. And so when we look at healing mechanisms and the why something works, there's a symbiotic relationship. And so I have had some people that have our machines and have PEMF, and when they use them together, the outcomes are heightened for the client or the patient. And so it's very rewarding, because anytime we can take a modality that's working and then have it work even more effectively in the body is huge, especially when it's a simple modality. It's not something crazy, but we've even had athletes with separated shoulders, football players with separated shoulders. And when they're drinking the water, their shoulder repaired without needing surgery. So I assume it's very similar, where you have an articulation or a joint or a shoulder injury where you can use PEMF and you can put it right on that shoulder and it's stimulating healing. It's very interesting to me, where you could combine both of these and speed up that process. That would be awesome. But I think there's definitely similarities there. Likewise, there's many people that, put the water with hydrogen in it on their face or skin or wound care. And that's just being on the skin stimulates collagen production. And so it's very interesting when we look at all these things and ask these questions and find a symbiotic relationship between modalities and products. I find it very beautiful.
Well, it could be different ways. One may be that the PEMFs enhance H2, what the H2 does, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. And exactly.
Magnetic fields like H2 have so many actions in the body.
Well, and I'm curious if the PEMF somehow through electrical stimulation is separating water molecules within the body, and then you have hydrogen, oxygen gas. I mean, electrolysis, which was discovered in 1800 by Dr. Anthony Carlisle, was just for that reason. Water electrolysis was discovered because he had been in a conference in 1798 and learned that hydrogen had antioxidant properties, selective antioxidant properties. And so he wanted to make a hydrogen generator. And so he just, you know, separated water into its constituent elements. I'm curious to know if anyone's ever looked at if electrical stimulation on the body could somehow separate water. I don't know where you would have that liquid that would be separating, but we know there's conductivity. I'm just curious. It's an interesting thought, but as we both have talked about, there are similar mechanisms and there are multiple mechanisms to accomplish an end result within the human body many times.
Well, I just read about a patent that was filed to produce hydrogen using radio frequency magnetic fields.
Yeah.
And that bombarding water molecules with that at very high frequencies and very high intensities breaks apart those water molecules and releases hydrogen, which can then be used as a fuel.
Yeah.
So at a lower level, at a human body level, as you said, the mechanics of water, aquaporins, are too small for a water molecule to go through. So it has to break apart and then reconstitute on the other side. So what is magnetic therapy doing with water molecules as well?
Right. Yeah, it's these are all wonderful questions, and we need to research this more to understand. I mean, RF makes sense because you're vibrating them faster and you can create that separation, and they'll do some things. One thing that we focus on is just harvesting H2 and getting the oxygen out of the solution so that you can keep the H2 molecule and send the oxygen back to the environment where it can be used. But this is very, very important so that you don't have a recombination. Now, oxygen and hydrogen are not just going to recombine. You need an action. You need a catalytic action. But the point is to get them out of the solution so you just have the H2 is critical for the body to be able to use that, and not increasing oxidation by having more oxygen, but just having that reductive power of hydrogen to bring the body back to homeostasis and back to balance.
So I want to ask you, relative to inflammation, because one of the key actions of H2, treated water, is anti-inflammatory.
Yep.
And one of the key actions of PEMFs as an anti-inflammatory treatment is through adenosine receptors. Mm-hmm. Have you seen any research on H2 and adenosine receptors?
I haven't. I can tell you that most every one of the 1140 studies talks about the anti-inflammatory response. A lot of it has to do with enzyme action and has to do with function in the body, whether it be one action or multiple actions. It really depends on, the different pathology or what have you. Many are similar, and then you have some that are different. The foundational study that happened, for example, was on hydroxyl radicals, which are the most cytotoxic or cell damaging radical in the human body. Now, when you take HO, which is a hydroxyl radical, and you put it in a petri dish and you add some H2, you create water molecules. That was assumed that was happening in the body, but that's actually not what's happening. When you have the mitochondrial function and you're creating radicals through normal process, hydrogen can signal catalase, and catalase can complete things. And what I really believe is it's much more beautiful than simply combining a hydrogen with a hydroxyl radical and making a water molecule in the body. I don't believe, and now the scientific community doesn't believe that's what's happening in the human body. It does happen in petri dishes, but it doesn't happen in the body. What I believe is happening is the mitochondria is actually able to produce enough ATP to function with the demand placed upon it. And so you're not looking for carb loading and sugar loading. And I think it's kind of a chicken or the egg kind of a thing, because a lot of people that want more mitochondrial function or more ATP production are putting a higher demand on the body. But because they don't have a gut that's functioning properly, they can't combat the radicals. So they have this issue in the mitochondrial respiratory chain. So they're throwing sugar and carbs at it to have almost like a turbo button, so that you can have faster energy. Well, the problem is you're going to create more radicals with sugar and carb loading. And so what hydrogen does is hydrogen will come in and actually allow the mitochondrial function to happen naturally and to produce the ATP that you need. And so the person has less of a need for sugar and carb loading. And so you haven't introduced many of the radicals there in the first place. This is what I've actually seen. And so whether it's an actual action of, or if it's a causal action that you're actually allowing the body to function naturally, so the person isn't having their crutch anymore of sugar and carbs, it's an interesting conversation. But this is what I found more than anything else is once you regulate a pathway, or once you regulate a system, the demand for the crutch goes away and the body's just able to function the way it was designed to function. And this is what I have found. One of the main claims, when you look back at 1950 to 1965, when the Japanese Ministry of Health and Welfare studied water through electrolysis, they did a 15-year human trial. At the end of it, they made these devices, medical devices in Japan, because of the electrolysis. They believed falsely at the time that it was because of the pH, but what they stated was that it cured improper fermentation in the gut. And so this gives us a huge secret to what's really going on, because fermentation, proper fermentation, does a lot of things in our gut and processes foods differently. And then if you have improper fermentation, then of course you're not processing food appropriately, and you can have some toxic things. So this is where the whole thing foundationally came from, is this human trial where they said, okay, what's it really doing? Now, since then, we have 1,140 studies and more coming every year, about 100 or so a year that are published. And I think that'll increase, but we're learning so much more, and some of it doesn't make sense, like, you know, non-alcohol fatty liver disease. Why is there no fat accumulation when hydrogen's present? But if you take hydrogen out, there's fat accumulation. I don't know that we have the answers to all these things, but what we do know is that hydrogen is innate to the body and should be there, and so is electrical current. So the things that both you and I do are, in my opinion, inherent to the body and are prime healing modalities because they're innate to the body to begin with.
Yeah, and PEMFs don't do anything really on its own anyway. It's not like burning your skin.
Right.
Right. Or suturing a wound. That's a very direct action on the tissue. Mm-hmm. PEMFs act by stimulating charge production in the tissue. And then the body uses that charge in whatever it wants to do with it.
That's
Whatever its needs are. Let's go back a second to ATP.
Yep.
ATP is constantly recycling.
Yep.
Every ATP molecule in the body recycles about 1,000 times a day, between 200 to 1,000 times. So that means the demand for ATP is constant. We produce about our body weight in ATP every day.
Yeah, in pounds, right?
In pounds. So we don't like make our weight in ATP all of a sudden, and then we're done.
Right? Yep.
Right? We're constantly making it. As I said, you know, at the outset, we have about 5,000 biochemical processes per second.
Yep.
So the question then becomes for you, relative to H2, adding H2, can you dose once a day and get sufficient action?
Yes, but remember, these studies are very targeted studies. So, you know, what you might have a study looking at colon cancer, you might have a study looking at diabetes, you might, and the lipid and glucose metabolism that occurs. And you might, I mean, all these studies are very targeted studies. I don't know that there's been yet a study looking at the entire system, but I would tell you what people ask me all the time, what do you suggest? One bottle a day or whatever. And I would say, let's always mimic the human body and what it does. And if you would typically eat three times a day, you would have fermentation going on three times a day. You would have hydrogen production three times a day. Let's mimic that and say three times a day, you drink the water. If you're looking to think of it that way, for me, I just drink the water throughout the day. I don't freak out if it doesn't have hydrogen in it, obviously. Every single water that goes into my body does not have hydrogen in it. Probably a majority of the water that goes into my body, because I have a machine in the house, I have them there. Obviously, everywhere I go, I have them. And so I do have them there. I can tell you that typically when we have consumers or doctors or professionals that are used to having the water, or even employees for that matter, and they go on vacation or they leave, typically it's about the second or third day that they are feeling a decline in function in their body. And so I would have to, from an anecdotal perspective, I would have to say, okay, their system was still being regulated for that amount of time. And then when they feel less energetic or more tired or less capacity to stay up and function and do, that's when you're starting to feel the effects go away. And on average, it's 2 to 3 days after they no longer consumed. And so I would just, I mean, without doing a study, we'd have to look at human behavior and feedback and use that as a, as kind of a study in a way to understand what's happening for people. But I would say that's what we see. And I've seen for many years, as I've been doing this over 15 years, that's what we see is with people that are, as you put it, hydrogen deficient, within 15 minutes, they're feeling an effect. If they do not have hydrogen production in their body and their body's not used to it, when they have it, they feel it almost immediately. And the doctor's offices that we communicate with, the chiropractors, the functional MDs, all these, they'll say it's always within an hour. Typically, the individuals will say, oh, you know, sometimes it's faster, but it's within an hour. They say, whoa, that's interesting. I can tell a difference. And that's what we see. Some things are more rapid. The more acute the issue is, the more rapid you see the effect. The less acute or the less issues a person has, the longer it takes to acknowledge or to palpate or to see or feel or understand a difference. It just depends on the individual, I would say.
And it's very interesting that you say that, because magnetic field therapy is the same. Mm-hmm. People feel the differences fairly quickly if they have the right dose of magnetic field therapy. Mm-hmm. And then usually when they go on vacation, as you said, it takes 2 to 3 days. They say, oh, wait a minute, I'm not as good as I was before.
Yep.
But you don't notice the cumulative benefits. And so if you're continuing to produce a benefit and you have, like, say, two components or two factors that produce a benefit, you wait 2 or 3 hours and one of those factors goes away.
Yep.
But one remains. The next time you dose, you get 2 plus 1. So that so it's cumulative until eventually you reach some kind of plateau.
Mm-hmm.
So going back to fermentation, if you think about fermentation, how long does fermentation last? Right? After a meal. So we say, okay, I'm going to dose right after I eat, or I'm going to dose when I eat. So how long does the benefit of the H2 last with fermentation? So you may need to be repeating your dosing after you've eaten, and not just do one dose. One dose is going to be better than nothing.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely. And because the vehicle we're using is water, I would recommend people do it half an hour before they ate or well after you eat. You do need water for fecal production. You need water for a lot of things in the body, but drinking a bunch of water when you're eating, in my opinion, is not the best practice, only because you can disrupt how efficiently the body can break down foods from an enzyme perspective, from a gastric juice perspective. But unfortunately, what happens is, and this is my opinion, it's worth what you're paying for it, but I think most people are dehydrated chronically. I think 97% of the population are probably dehydrated on a regular basis and don't understand what it feels like to be hydrated. So when they eat food, the body's like, I need some water. I'm not going to be able to create fecal matter. I'm not going to be able to do a lot of things. Can you please give me some water? Well, immediately the body's demanding it because they didn't already have it. But it would be much better if they were to consume water before eating a meal so that their body was hydrated and had that ability. The one thing we have noticed is there are doctors that sell HCL tablets or pills. They have said that their patients are not needing it when they start drinking the water like they used to. And in fact, I had one chiropractor in Las Vegas who said, the only patients I have that do not need HCL are the ones that are drinking hydrogen water. Well, it's obvious they're getting hydrogen gas. And so the body then has hydrogen to produce HCL. And so it's very interesting from a hydration perspective and from a hydrogen perspective. And then the final component that I put into the water is the electrical potential. So we have a negative 300, negative 400, negative 450 millivolts of electrical potential. We call it oxidation reduction potential of water. We actually infuse the water when it goes through the device that I developed with a negative 300 to negative 450 millivolts. That is highly beneficial for rebuilding gut bacteria, because as I mentioned earlier, the study from Russia showing that if we get the tissue itself in the gastrointestinal tract to a negative electrical potential, you selectively stimulate anaerobic microflora. So we can rehab, we can change the terrain or what we call the microbiome electrically. And in my opinion, this is the best way to do it. It's the fastest and the most efficient way, rather than trying to take probiotics for the rest of your life. Electrically changing your gut is going to have a lasting effect, because you've actually given these bacteria a home to live in, and they'll start creating a home. So we have people that are gluten and dairy that within a week or so can be eating gluten and dairy with no inflammation. And so this is another wonderful side effect or a thing that we see or observe after the effect. But I don't know that we know why the ATP is produced. Going back to your question, I don't know if we know why it's produced more. I think there's some theories out there on catalase upregulation because of hydrogen upregulating catalase. I don't know if we know 100% yet.
Well, you and I probably won't be around when we finally know 100%. And even then, as you said at the beginning, the all that is the great creator has all the answers. We don't.
Yeah, right? That's right.
We're a discovery process. So we're near the end of our discussion, and it's been a phenomenal discussion. And I know that people are going to have to watch this over again, maybe even multiple times. We did get fairly scientific.
Yes.
Let's give some advice to people then, Paul, about what they should do to get their hydrogen water.
So we have made it simple for people, honestly, that are two categories, skeptical or people that travel a good bit and want a sport bottle. So we have a sport bottle that we make that's rechargeable battery. You put pure water in it, as pure as you can, and you just push a button, and 3 minutes later, you have hydrogen water that you can drink, 9.5 ounces. Now, there you go. For a family of four,
unless I say something, so I'm going to say something. So this is
there.
This
you go.
Is
a portable there you go.
Version of this.
It's Echo Go. Yeah, and so you just push the button. It makes bubbles. Oxygen's going out the bottom of it. Hydrogen's going into the water. It's 9.5 ounces. It's great, but for a family of four, it's not really plausible that your water consumption would come from that. So we do have filtration devices, like, you know, that can take out all the contaminants that are in your water. And then we have machines that produce 1/4 gallon a minute of the water. So you just go up to it, push a button, and you have water coming out. It's very simple. It first cleans the water, and then it dissolves hydrogen gas to the saturation level, which is 1.6 parts per million based on Boyle's law. That's what we're doing. And then you just drink that. And then we also have a frequency system if people are interested in frequency medicine. But this is what they would do. It's very simple. They get a system, they connect it to a water source, and water runs through it. This becomes their drinking water, and off to the races they go.
That's it. It's that easy.
Yeah.
Now it's not cheap, but nothing good is cheap. You buy cheap, you get cheap, right? However, yeah. this device, the Echo Go, is relatively inexpensive. And you could actually get 2 or 3 for a home as well.
Yes.
Where do you buy this equipment?
So our web, well, you can go to, we have many thousands of chiropractors, medical professionals that are that educate on our products and have in their office, but our website is synergyscience.com. And if you mention the amazing Dr. Pollock, then you'll have a discount just for supporting him and listening to us while we talk for this time about very, very important scientific stuff. So yeah, but our website is synergyscience.com, and you can see all of the devices on there and decide which one best suits. Of course, we can help you with that decision making, of course, but that's how simple it is.
Now the last thing, since we did talk a lot of science, there's a website that you have helped to develop that I would like you to tell people about as well, please.
Yeah, so one of the websites we own and is purely a research tool. We've spent the last 2 years putting this together. It's hydrogenstudies.com. So hydrogenstudies.com. And you can see some studies on our website, synergyscience.com, synergy, and then science.com. But really, I would prefer for you to go to hydrogenstudies.com because it is an incredible research tool or resource. You can type in any condition, you can type in disease models, and it will query and research through all 1,140 studies. And that's today. Tomorrow, there might be 1,141. We're continuing to add. And so you can do research for you, for your loved ones, for whoever, friends, family.
Your pet.
Yeah, pet. Oh, gosh. Yeah, we have veterinarian hospitals that use our machines. We have doggy daycares, you know, pet daycares that use them. And it's funny, they say the liver and kidney issues for the dogs going away. And so animals, babies, out of 1,140 studies, there are zero contraindications. It is safe for all ages, obviously. If you're supposed to be producing hydrogen in your gut, there's not going to be anyone that's harmed by it. And so it's very safe for everyone involved and animals as well.
You can't overdose.
No, no. Right? No.
That's fantastic.
Thank you.
What else could you do that you can't overdose?
Love.
Yeah, well, you can overdose on love too.
Can you?
Yeah, well, you can be smothered by it.
That's manipulation.
That's not true love, right?
Right. But there's some things we can't overdose on, but most everything we can overdose, can't we?
Well, fortunately, we can't overdose on hydrogen water.
Yeah, we can't get too
much water, but you can't overdose on hydrogen water.
That's exactly what I was just going to say. You took the words out of my mouth. You can always drink more water, but that's not the problem most people have. They're usually drinking too little, but you can't overdose on hydrogen. Your body will just breathe it out. You will exhale it, and it's impossible to overdose. Yep.
Well, again, thank you very much, Paul, for taking the time out of your very, very busy day.
Oh,
a lot of people will watch this, and I look forward to meeting you in Florida soon and working with you.
Likewise. Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
You as well.